It is dark where I am, but that no longer has any meaning. The simple white sheet that his attendants placed on me when they readied me for his skillful touch provides me with no comfort. And in the past, I would have found it unbearably coarse. But I appreciate the theatricality of it all. I must be very careful and keep my eyes shut. He must not see them flicker this way and that. It would give me away. I must remember that though we are to become lovers, I cannot reveal myself until afterwards. Only then will he understand. Only then will he know that we are truly meant for one another. I've watched him work, hiding the shadows, too shy to approach. So I stole one of his older notebooks from his office while he was lost in his work. And I absorbed the cold descriptions with the rapt attention of a youth reading a text on reproduction for the first time. I would run the fingers of one hand over the scratchy outlines of bodies and wounds, and two fingers of the other hand buried between my legs. I never failed to climax when reading this pornography, imagining I was on the receiving end of his love. I grew as familiar with his sharp, neat handwriting as my own. Perhaps that's why I truly fell in love with him. The first notebook contained diagrams, simple markings indicating where various injuries were found, what his diagnoses were, his thoughts. But that wasn't enough. The first theft led to another. And this second notebook. This was different. There were sketches of tubing and wire. Instruments of some sort connected to the simple sketches of bodies I was used to. I despaired I would ever understand them, but then I noticed the symbols in the margins. I sought answers in the old library, and I had the good fortune to find the appropriate ancient tome among the stacks. The lettering was long gone. The cover and binding, impossibly supple. With time and patience, I discovered their meaning. And I finally understood what my love was attempting. Truthfully, it allowed me to complete his work. I was afraid at first, but in time, I accepted that I was a being on the cusp of true metamorphosis. I completed the potion according to the instructions I deciphered. But I left the small vial untouched for almost a week. Finally, I found the courage to drink it. When the landlord found me in my rooms and let out a cry, they did not realize that what they were seeing was a new and beautiful creature. A pallid butterfly. Transformed by my love for this one man. It was then that I decided to make this blasphemous knowledge my dowry to him, a gift that he would not refuse and could not help but be grateful for. The sound of his footsteps Hard soles on the worn tiles rouse me from my memories. I take a moment to remember my goals and my ends. As the harsh light flicks on with a buzz, I still my movements, even the most minute. In this new state, it's easier than I imagined. Slowly, as if he too feels the same anticipation as I do, his hands draw the sheet back. It whispers over my feet and my thighs, over my sex, chest, and nipples. Finally, he reveals my face, and he draws a sharp breath. He recognizes me. He passes the back of his hand slowly, and with great care down the side of my cheek. I desperately want to know if he has an erection, but to look now would be careless, foolhardy. I will not ruin this through being overeager. The cold air caresses my skin, and I feel myself react to his imagined scrutiny. I cannot see him, but I slowly become aroused, imagining my lover's gaze across my body. I pray that my slower reactions to such stimuli will make my excitement less obvious now. He does not seem to notice, and I allow myself to relax. We both know how this will start, but he draws it out. He says a few words out loud, organizing his thoughts, but the way he describes me, so clinically, I can hear the passion in his voice, the latent hunger for what is forbidden. He begins his palpations. He feels for injuries all over my body. It is delicious foreplay, and I've fantasized about it so many times. He is so careful to touch me all over. His hands on me are all that exists in this world. All that I need. He inserts a thermometer into my rectum after he verifies that I am, in fact, as cold as death. He pauses, and I imagine him looking around. Then he inserts a single finger inside my pussy. Were anyone there to witness him, I'm sure he would claim to be ensuring that nothing was occluding the orifice. But I know the truth. He's testing me. Tasting me. What it's like to be inside. I do not begrudge him this indulgence. With a reluctant sigh, he removes his invasive digit. He rolls the cart containing his instruments closer, and I hear the rattle of metal and glass. The anticipation would be killing me if... He started the Y incision. Hand steady. I can't see it, but I feel the line of red pain drawn across my chest in sharp steel. He pauses for a moment, and I'm glad for it. It hurts so much. But in a new and intensely arousing way. I was not prepared for the warring sensations, and my mind is a storm of confusing thoughts. Every part of me is already begging for release when he starts the second cut. Now I'm fighting a battle not to open my eyes, to speak. I need to see him. I need to beg him to stop, to keep going, to go faster. The cut is complete. Were I still able to breathe, I would have sobbed out loud. Without giving me time to adapt to the new sensations, he peels my flesh back with such unflinching care that I could weep. My body is on fire with pain and I tense up, ever so slightly, before I force myself once again into supple compliance. I am now exposed to him, vulnerable. I'm so close to the edge and he's barely penetrated me. I need him inside of me. He does not make me wait long. The shears come out. He opens them, and the sharp snick they make sings to me. With a sudden force, he thrusts one of the blades underneath my ribcage. Now he's deeper inside of me than any man has ever been. He pauses and I am lost in pain, fulfillment, want. I feel the cold metal so close to my unbeating heart. I know his process like I know my own cold body. I'm ready. I need him so much. I need him too. There's a crushing pressure for but a moment, and then the shears pass through the bone of my sternum as if it is nothing. All my resistance and preparation are for naught. I climax for the first time during this procedure. I make no noise through the agony and the pleasure. But my eyes snap open, and my entire body tenses before releasing. He steps back from me, shock all over his face. I am suddenly terrified. Does he find my pleasurable convulsion revolting? He sets the shears down and examines me again, and I realize that he's checking to see if I'm alive. I feel such relief. The thermometer enters my rectum again. His fingers test for a pulse on my neck. He even lowers his ear close to my mouth and nose. I am cold. I have no pulse. And I do not breathe. I want to touch him. To put my mouth on him. But I know that would do nothing to arouse him further. And would only reveal my dowry early. So I lie still and waiting. And I remind myself that I must be patient and attentive to his needs. I've learned so much from observing my love. I know exactly what he does in this room and in what order. I know he prefers bodies who look like I did. I know that he will cross the final line for me. I will earn the honor of calling him husband. I allow myself a very small smirk as I realize that despite his calm and collected exterior and his measured movements, his quickened breathing means that he is, in fact, quite excited. But this is different than normal. This time he starts low with my liver. I feel him caressing it lovingly with great care. I bite my lip and pray he does not notice. He frees it from the surrounding flesh with a few skillful, searing cuts of a scalpel. He takes it tenderly and places it on the steel scale, making note of the weight as he says it out loud. He's not a barbarian. His tools of the trade are medical. He says things out loud before writing them down in his notebook with a pen. Scientific. Though I can't see it from where I lay, I'm sure this notebook looks exactly the same as the ones I stole from him. Next, he removes my stomach. Then my intestines. My blood flows freely down my flanks and into the grooves of the table. As he progresses, I can see his impulses warring behind his eyes. He knew me after all, and my death does, in a way, trouble him. He cannot find anything wrong with me. Every organ, almost, but not quite, alive. I'm barely decayed at all, just enough to be appealing for him. His curiosity and medical ethics soon fall by the wayside, his stronger impulse winning out. I know that he's losing control as I feel his hands move freely through my exposed cavity. He's groping me as a boy would for the first time. Focused, eager to please, but without the patience of an experienced lover. My lesser organs are removed as well and placed on a nearby table next to the others. Even without knowing what I have become, he has treated these parts of me with reverence, knowing perhaps instinctively that I'm only mostly dead. At last, he stops his disemboweling and steps back. He is breathing hard and sweating. The scent of his arousal is strong to me now. Heady. I imagine his cock is straining at his pants, forming a slight wet spot at the tip of his tent. Yet he hesitates. At first, I don't understand, and I'm a little hurt. I'm open to him, vulnerable and exposed in a way that I never could have been while I was alive. I am ready. Does he not want me as a husband should his wife? It takes a moment before it occurs to me that he does love me. Perhaps he always had, but he wasn't truly attracted to me until now. His hesitation is another sign of his adoration. His reverence for me. Had I not already wanted him, I would now. I know what he needs. He needs something to encourage him. I relax my legs. The tiniest bit. And let a soft sigh escape my lips. He should be alarmed by this. Maybe run or check me again for signs of life. But he does not. Oh no. His eyes are drawn to my cunt. My cold, dead cunt. Clearly and impossibly swollen. Wet with arousal. A delayed reaction, maybe, but a true one to the intensity of his sensual foreplay. He strips off his gloves and walks to the door. For a moment, I panic, afraid that he's leaving, but he does not. I hear him snap the deadbolt into place. When he returns, he's not overthinking things any longer. He removes his shirt and his shoes, then his socks, pants, finally his underwear. He never undressed all the way for the others. I am special to him. Besides, I know why he removes all the organs before he mounts. That's the best part. He climbs on the table, and it shifts under our combined weights, but holds steady. He pushes my thighs apart, letting my feet and calves hang from either side of the table. He holds himself above me on one arm, as he ever so carefully inserts himself deep inside me and... It is so much different now. At first, I feel nothing but a deep pressure. And I'm so frustrated. But then... I began to sense each thrust individually, and finally, agonizingly, I feel all of it. I'm driven wild by the forbidden nature of our consummation, and the knowledge that my true love and I are finally one. There are no more barriers between us. No more false moralities or paper gods. Only he and I remain. Life and death. Seed and rot. Husband and wife. I can look at him almost freely now, though I dare not move my head. Not yet. I know where his focus is, what he enjoys most. He's left my reproductive organs intact, but removed everything around them. Only my womb and the passage leading to it remain. He watches me inflate and stretch with his violations. And then he gasps with surprise. Unlike the others, I am an active participant in this act. I clench and grip and squeeze him with unexpected pressure. He groans, and it is not from pain. He is beyond scientific curiosity now and begins to thrust eagerly. Long and forceful strokes filling me. I ache each time he leaves me and rejoice when he buries himself deeply inside of me again. His breaths turn to moans, then groans, then animalistic grunts. He is losing himself inside me, or willing to be damned for trying. The time for caution is over. I hook my ankles around his, and he looks up at my face in surprise, but he cannot stop now. He is taken by his lust for me, and besides, what he sees in my cloudy eyes should not concern him. There is only adoration there. I wrap my dead arms around him and pull him close. His chest and stomach grow wet with my blood, and he does not care. He kisses me, and my cold tongue sneaks into his mouth as I hear him cry out one last time. I feel his seed filling me for the first time, and I find the sensation unbearably appealing. His warmth spreads inside me, coating my insides, seeping towards my womb. Will it take hold there? Even I do not know. I focused on the means to this end and left the deeper mysteries of this existence to be discovered through trial and error. Perhaps we can experiment together. I think no more as I come hard, spasming and twitching uncontrollably, holding him much too tightly in my corpse grip. He does not mind, and I feel his mouth upon my skin as pleasure makes me its victim. We fall limply back to the table together. He props himself up, not quite pulling out of me, and looks down at me with a longing I know is mirrored on my own cold features. I see a shadow of fear go across his face, and I'm charmed, realizing he was willing to take the plunge into the unknown for me, just as I had for him. This was right all along. He takes his time restoring me, putting each of my pieces back in its place. One at a time. I don't know if I strictly need them, but we both know that this attentiveness is his attempt at romance. I sigh as he touches each part of me again. He pushes my sternum back together with a small crunch, looking at me apologetically. He doesn't know, as I do, that this too will heal, in a manner of speaking. I smile, knowing that we can do this all over again, should he want. And the fire in my love's eyes tells me that he does want them. Very much. Over and over again. The gentle violations of the needle sewing my skin back is the final bit of aftercare that I needed. His soft fingers, each prick and pull, tells me that I'm right. I decide then and there that I shall always keep this Y-shaped scar as a token of my devotion for him. I softly whisper the delights I've discovered in the lore of the old ones, of the voluptuous blasphemies we will share together. I tell him of all the ways he can mutilate and fold and spindle me. I tell him I am a willing gift for his pleasure. I am the muse for his genius, the completion of the work he started. I am the final key to death unending. He sheds a few tears then, and perhaps I do as well. Emotion overwhelms me. I love you, I utter softly. He responds in kind. And on his face is a deeply satisfied smile as he promises to take me home. We are one, now and forevermore.